This is the PNB National Elections Committee meeting for April 13th, 2010. I'm Bill Crozier calling the meeting to order. And Ken, can you call the roll, please?
Okay. Tracy Rosenberg. Ann Siegel. Anthony Fest. Sean Casey O'Brien.
Present.
Okay. Ken Aaron, present. Fred Klunder. Bill Crozier.
Here.
Okay, Wes Bethune, Melinda Ilyadon.
Eileen Doan.
Eileen Doan, okay.
Yes.
Campbell Johnson.
Here.
Okay, Renee Bowser.
Here.
Okay, Peter Tucker.
Here.
Okay, Alex Steinberg.
Here.
Okay, Russell Dale.
Here.
Okay, Maniha Saba. No, we also have two other people, Arlene Engelhart and Carolyn Burden. So we have one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine present.
Actually, Carolyn is not a member of the committee, and I was going to ask permission of the group if we could go ahead and invite her. I consider the code. She may have already gotten it from Sean, but any objections to doing that?
No, I'd like to hear what she has to say.
Okay. She was on the committee for several years and is very experienced. And
I don't have any.
Had some suggestions for us.
Okay, she used to be our chair.
Yeah, right.
And Anthony just arrived from KPSA.
Hi, Anthony.
Pardon me, who's
Hi.
That? Somebody just came in?
Yeah, Anthony Fest from KPSA.
Okay.
Are you the new chair of the KPFA board?
That's me.
Well, congratulations, or condolences, whichever's in order.
Yeah, I guess some of both. Thanks.
I would imagine.
Okay, well, let's see. The draft agenda, I hope everybody got, should have gone out both to the Yahoo group and also to the via the automated system that Otis has set up for us from PNB at Pacifica.org.
Let me just read it.
Oh, okay. Are you on the? Do you get emails from for the automated ones, Arlene? For all the committees?
I think I'm only getting the the PNB notice of the meetings. That's the only thing I'm getting.
Okay. Okay. Well, I'll go ahead and read the agenda anyway for people that might be listening on the stream, and then if there's any suggestions for changes, we can do that. First is approval of agenda. Second is approval of March 15th meeting minutes for 5 minutes. Number three, report from ED on National Election Supervisor Selection, 2009 NES report, member list cleanups, and staff registry software, 20 minutes. Number four is report from work group, parenthesis March 28th meeting, on RFP, that's request for proposals, for contracted election tasks and cost-saving proposals, parenthesis 30 minutes. And by the way, you should have all gotten the minutes from that in the email I sent to the Yahoo group this afternoon. Number five, motion from Ken Aaron, which was we didn't really discuss last month, for 10 minutes. And the motion is that the PNB strongly encourages the executive director and the human resources director to rapidly implement the use of the staff registry software across the network and encourage staff to register to assure their right to vote and run for office. And another motion from me, Bill Crozier, 10 minutes, that the PNB direct to ED to ensure that management at all stations do what is necessary to keep membership lists updated and correct, that such updating and corrections be completed before the nominations period starts for LSB elections this year, and that it continue on a regular basis in order to minimize problems with future elections and reduce expenses to Pacifica. Number seven, other recommendations for the PNB, ED, and NES, RE Elections, 15 minutes, and that's where I hope we can include this item from Carolyn Burden. Number eight, using the public Google group for elections, 10 minutes. Number nine, new business, if any. Number 10, determine next committee meeting date, 3 minutes. Number 11, review action items, 5 minutes, and adjourn, hopefully by 10:30, it's Eastern. Any changes to the agenda?
Bill?
Yes.
This is Russell.
Yeah,
I'm wondering
Russell.
if, yeah, hi.
I'm wondering, can we reverse 5 and 6, maybe? Because I was thinking that maybe we can have a little more discussion than 10 minutes on Ken Aaron's thing, because there's a couple of issues that we might have to discuss. So.
Okay, that was so swap the motion from Ken and the motion from me?
Yeah.
Doesn't matter to me. Any objections to that?
Everybody is okay with that.
I'm okay with
switch
it.
5 to 6?
Yeah.
Is that okay, Ken?
Membership list. I don't know. So to provide more time for 6 or 5, is that it?
Yeah, and give 5, maybe we'll give more time to 5.
I think it's really an up-down vote, but I just distributed material about it.
Okay, well, if there's no objections, we'll go ahead and swap those two on the agenda. Hopefully they'll both be quick. Any other changes for the agenda?
That was Russell, right?
Yeah. Okay. Hearing no other changes, then I guess the agenda is approved as amended, swapping number 5 and 6. Let's see. Next on the agenda.
May I ask a quick question? Not on the agenda. I had no problem with the agenda. Did you send the minutes only on the Yahoo group, which I didn't join because I intended to not be on the committee, but it may be that the other person from our LSB may not be joining, so I just wanted
to... Pardon me, who's that speaking?
This is Renee Bowser.
Oh, okay. You didn't get the minutes of the last meeting?
I mean, you put them on the Yahoo group?
No, I emailed them to everybody.
Oh, okay.
Now, the work group, the last work group, I think I only sent it to the Yahoo group. It's also listed on the PAPFDX website. I posted them there under the minutes for that meeting. But I can email them to you again if you'd like.
Well,
You could email them to me, I'd also appreciate it.
Okay.
Could somebody else do that? It's kind of hard for me to type while I'm
doing
the meeting. If somebody could forward the note I sent this afternoon.
This afternoon?
Yeah, I sent it this afternoon.
Okay. No wonder.
It had the draft agenda and...
Okay, I got the draft agenda. I'm sorry.
And it had the information repeated from last month about Ken Aaron's motion with the staff registry.
Bill?
And it had the minute. Yes.
It had the minutes, too?
I think I had the minutes just from the work group because they weren't distributed previously, I don't believe, to the whole committee.
Okay.
Who do I need to get to add me to the mailing list so that I... You know, because you guys are doing a lot of things that are of importance. I try to get into your meetings, but in case I miss...
Okay, I'm sorry. I can take care of that. We can get you on the... Otis can add you to, or John can add you to the KPFDX automatic notification, and then I'll make sure you get added to the Yahoo group or the Google group. I think we're going to be switching over to a Google group, but that's later on the agenda.
Bill?
So, Ken, could you put me down as an action item to take care of that so I don't forget?
Again, to add Arlene?
Yes.
To what?
To the email list.
To
the email list. Mm-hmm. And who else wanted to say something?
Yeah, Russell. I was also asking that we can extend the talk on Ken's motion.
Okay.
And I'm not sure, did we just approve the budget or, I mean, the budget, the agenda?
We did, but if there's no objections, that's okay. How much time?
Let's say from 10 to 20 minutes.
Okay. Any objections
to
doing
that? I don't have any objection on that.
Sounds good.
Because I don't even know what it's about.
Okay.
Well,
we just need to be brief on the other thing so we don't keep people up too late.
Hey, hi, Bill. Carolyn on the call here.
Hi, Carolyn.
Hi.
Tell everybody who you are for newcomers, please.
Oh, okay. Carolyn Burden. I just finished a long, grueling tenure on the board, the national board and local, so I'm tenured out, but I'm still interested in the elections committee. I was chair at one point, and really made elections a focus of much of my work, so I'm happy to be here.
Welcome.
And, okay, so we just reviewed the agenda, the draft agenda, and we swapped items 5 and 6. Which is the motions from Ken and me. And now I guess the next is the report from Arlene on several things. I had listed a few things in the agenda, and I don't know what else she might have for us. What I listed on the agenda was about the National Election Supervisor selection, an update on that, the 2009 NES report, which we haven't seen yet, member list cleanups, and the staff registry software. So, Arlene?
Okay. In terms of the National Election Supervisor, I have what I consider to be two very viable applications, a third that I don't consider to be so viable. I'm checking one thing, which is whether we listed this on a number of sites and also on the Pacifica site and the NFCB and places like that. Got a few other inquiries, but they declined to apply after they had a few questions answered. So people did see it. We're double-checking. Since it's a temporary position, we're not sure that EEO requirements would require that it have an in-print advertisement, but we're double-checking on that to make sure that we haven't violated any EEO requirements. Assuming not, I think I'll probably move ahead with interviewing, you know, the two that I think sound good, and one of them actually has worked as a local election supervisor, and move ahead with that. Do you want me to go ahead with the other items, or do you want to entertain any questions about that?
Why don't you go, well, if it's okay with everybody, why don't we go through the whole thing and just save your questions?
Okay.
Make sure we have time for all of it.
I sent Les an email today asking about the report. I haven't seen it either, and I sure would like to. It would definitely help me. In terms of the member list cleanup, it's a major item on our management call for Thursday to discuss with the managers, and also as part of that also to discuss the staff list registry. And move ahead with that unless I see some significant reasons that it won't work. And to my knowledge, that's not the case. So that's where we are with that.
Okay. Well, before I ask questions, are there things that we can help you with on any of this?
The only thing that I would ask is that, you know, I'm going to be talking to the managers on Thursday morning about the importance of their lists being in good shape, and I think it would be really wise if people that were election committee LSB representatives from their local stations were to check in with the manager and make sure that they feel that's really happening. I don't think we can do too much checking to be sure that the lists are clean and as good as possible.
Okay. All right, so question.
And Aaron, I have a question.
Kim?
Yes.
I think it was either in the election committee working group or last meeting that we had a recommendation of having people who are competent about handling MemSys act as aides to stations that are in need of help. Is that a viable solution if the station can't facilitate it? Or... Well, that was the discussion. If let's say, like, Station A can help Station B fix up their list via MemSys.
That's one of the things I'll be discussing with the managers on Thursday, because one of the things that we are trying to implement is people from around the network helping other people in the network with getting their MemSys operable and clean, so that we're both utilizing it effectively and also that we understand how to utilize it.
Thank you.
We discussed that at the audit committee meeting last night, too.
Other questions? Let me make a comment. I know you've been very busy, and there's lots of other critical things going on, but the... just a reminder on the NES selection, one of the things that made it really hard on the NES last year was that he was not hired until the first part of May. And even with an extension or delaying the deadlines, it still was very, very rushed. And of course, the LESs are not hired until after the NES is hired. So all of them were hired late. And our bylaws do say that the NES should be hired by March 1st. So I know it's... not much we can do right now, but again, if there's anything we can do to help to keep things from getting delayed, please let us know.
Well, I was set to schedule interviews, and then I realized that there is this EEO wrinkle, and so it's supposed to be checked out. I'm not supposed to be checking it out tonight. We think we're okay, and if that's the case, then I'm going to be scheduling these two people for interviews, like, immediately, and hoping
to
move ahead.
Okay. Other questions, anybody? Just to let you know, one of the things that Carolyn Burden and Russell emailed us, that, and that was what you were just sent before the meeting started, Arlene, was information that will relate to the list cleanup issues. So I don't know if you're able to stay on the call for that long, but
I'm going to stay on. I'm planning to stay with you the entire time, and I just downloaded that.
Okay, good.
Protocol and action item. I didn't have it until about 2 minutes ago, and I have it sitting right in front of me.
Okay, great.
This is Carolyn. I didn't get anything from Russell. Could someone resend it?
No, Carolyn, I didn't actually send anything new. I just forwarded the thing that you had sent to Arlene.
I didn't get anything either, Campbell.
This is Russell. I didn't send anything new. I just forwarded to Arlene the thing that Carolyn had sent earlier, with the attachment about the elections, so that she could have that document. Bill Crozier asked me to send it.
Sorry.
Could you send it to Campbell and Renee also? I'm not sure if they're not getting mail from the Yahoo group.
Oh, do you want me to forward it to Campbell and Renee as well?
Yes, yes, please.
Oh, I see. Okay, very good. I'll do that.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Okay, and I think we'll get to that under item number 7 on the agenda. Okay. Other questions for Arlene?
What? I just said I appreciate getting that.
Welcome.
Mr. Chair?
Yeah, Sean?
Yeah, we didn't pick a timer, but I have been keeping time, and if you want me to carry on, I'm happy to do it.
Yes, please do. Thank you.
Okay, and we have 12 minutes and 53 seconds left in this segment.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any other questions, anybody? It's quiet. Well, let me mention make another comment about the member list cleanups. Again, this has been a continuing problem, and it's not just at one station. I know everybody knows about the problems at New York last year, but there were difficulties at every station to varying degrees. And I think one thing that would help us a lot is if we could, and maybe you could discuss this, Arlene, with the other GMs on Thursday, if there's a way we can share expertise, not just by sending people to each station, but sort of compiling best practices, a list or something like that. I don't know if anything like that exists already for keeping the member databases updated, but I kind of get the feeling there's no training on that, and I'm not sure everybody knows the different things. It's not just using MEMSIS. It's using the National Change of Address database and these other things.
That's a good idea.
A lot of that's in what this thing will be getting to that Carolyn and
right.
Ken, comment on that?
Yes, Ken?
I think we were anticipating something like that coming from Les in his report, or additional to his report. Isn't that correct?
Darlene?
I would assume that would be part of his report, but I don't know for sure what he's included in his report because I haven't seen it.
Yeah, it's been in just about all the NS reports since I remember that the staff list were a problem. I mean, both the staff list and the member list. Excuse me. Is that correct, Carolyn? You have more history on the committee.
Well, yes, and I think maybe it's time to rethink the whole piecemeal approach. We have 6 different contracts with census. We have no standard outreach format. I think
Can you speak up?
Just doing this little revision that I did made me realize that what we probably need is a national coordinator for the database and a national coordinator for the outreach and the and these fundraising letters and the that part of the elections process. That's asking a lot of a national election supervisor. But when we get rich again, maybe we should think about that.
Okay.
Who's laughing?
I've always loved your sense of humor, Carolyn.
I have a very straight face here, Melinda.
Okay, well, if there's no other questions for Arlene, I guess we can go on. Some of this is going to be handled later, I think, on the agenda anyway. No other questions about what she just talked about? Okay. Well, the next item is a report from the work group that met March 28th, and that was the minutes that was sent out this afternoon. If you hadn't seen them earlier, they're on the KPFDX, the minutes portion of that meeting notice. Somebody who was on that that call want to give a little summary? Tracy, are you on? Let's see, who else was on that? Let me get my notes.
May I back up? Well, I'll ask it when we get to the staff registry issues. Never mind. Go ahead.
Is that Renee?
Yeah, I'm going to pass right now. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, Melinda, you were on, and Peter, and Russell, and Carolyn,
and Ken,
and Anthony. All you were on that work group. Do you want to give a summary? That call.
I'm trying to find the minutes.
Minutes are really good.
What was the date of the meeting?
March 28th.
Yeah. I did the minutes, and I'm looking for them.
Right, and they were good. Well, I'll give a summary from the minutes, if that would help. While
that would be helpful.
Okay, in the context of cutting expenses by not mailing out printed candidate statement booklets out to all voters, there was discussion on the details of implementation. Bill mentioned that at the previous meeting, the group had decided on an opt-out, not an opt-in procedure, so that voters who do nothing will receive a booklet, but suggested that not many voters are likely to actively opt out, and propose that the work group think of ways to encourage voters to use the process. So we all need to be thinking of ideas like that, everyone. Carolyn said that Pacifica could do a multi-purpose preliminary mailing probably in July, alerting subscribers to the upcoming election, and that could include an opt-out postcard together with a fundraising appeal and a request to provide us with an email address. Ken asked about costs per piece of the ballot and the statement booklet, and I haven't been able to get anything from Les Radke yet about that. I haven't gotten a response from him since the meeting. And there was discussion on the state of the voter list, especially WBAI. Carolyn said that, to her knowledge, the WBAI lists are not yet being cleaned, probably due to a shortage of personnel with the necessary knowledge of MIMSIS. Ken suggested, as we were just talking earlier about MIMSIS Fluent staff at other Pacifica stations helping out, possibly remotely. Russell responded that MIMSIS is DOS-based, so remote access would not be possible, at least the version at WBAI. And Tracy agreed to check with the stations about which version of MIMSIS each is using. Are you on the call, Tracy?
No.
I haven't heard from her yet. Okay. And she also drafted a motion expressing the election committee's recommendation that stations with MIMSIS expertise assist others. And if we want to make that a motion to the PNB, we can do that. I'm not sure that's necessary, but we can certainly pass that along to the NES and Arlene. There was discussion of contracting out selected election functions, notably the mailing of replacement ballots. And Tracy said this activity could not be centralized for the entire election season because in the closing days of an election, it must be done locally so that their voter receives a replacement ballot in time. And by the way, just not in the minutes, but we were discussing the need for a tracking mechanism. That was something we talked about at the last General Elections Committee meeting, tracking of replacement ballot requests so things don't fall through the cracks. Tracy said that in her term as the LES at KPFA, about 330 replacement ballot requests came in, and most of them were near the end of the election period, just to give you an idea of how many. and there was discussion of whether the elections committee or the stations could assist with the hiring of local election supervisors. And Tracy found us, and she did email us an old LES job description. So we do have that, by the way, Carol, Arlene. That's from last year, the one that Les sent out.
Oh, good. Appreciate getting a copy of that.
Okay. I'll forward that to you. Okay, so any comments on the work group report?
Yeah, I do, Ken. I can't pull up the minutes in front of me, but I recall specifically on query, Tracy said of the 130 requests for replacement ballots, it all went fine except for a maximum of 32 that were problems and only three or four failures.
Right. Because I was there were 330 total, she said.
Yeah, but she said only 32 were problematic.
Yeah.
And out of those, there were maybe a total of three or four that didn't get it or that failed to get a proper and adequate replacement ballot. So pointing out that in the population of ballots that were distributed and replacement ballots, it's a minor issue numerically.
Yeah, well, that was just the one election that she was LES at.
On the election that she was LES.
Right.
So it's just a question of how much resources we want to allocate to a problem of low concern, in my viewpoint. Although it seems like the people who never get their ballots are the ones who make the biggest donations sometimes. But still, I'm just saying that numerically it's a very small number of people, so I don't... we mentioned this in the work group, that it really shouldn't occupy a great deal of resources to remedy. It seems to be working.
Okay, other questions or comments, either from the work group or anybody else?
Alex?
Yeah, Alex.
I'm just wondering if there was any discussion about the opt-in, opt-out mechanism. It seems that if we were to do that, it would, in effect, create two separate mailing lists, which may not be a terrible burden, provided that MEMSIS can handle, say, an extra field or something that has a flag in it saying mail the full mailing to this person or not.
Right. Well, unless somebody else wants to respond at all, one of the things we talked about was either getting perhaps Otis McLay, or if he doesn't have time, contract this out to somebody else, or maybe a volunteer that's skilled with web software development to provide an online interface so that people can indicate they want to opt out of getting the printed information for the candidates. And then this would have to be coupled with on-air announcements to encourage people to do that. And then that could generate a list that could be merged. We'd have to determine how that's going to be done with the output from the MEMSIS list so that those people do not have to get the complete package. They don't have to get the candidate information. Is that correct? Are the other people that were on the conference call? The work group?
I just want to make a comment. This is Ken. I mean, structurally, in terms of software implementation, it really doesn't have to be integrated into MEMSIS. After the fact, it's at the mailing house. Here's a list of people who opted out, so don't send the package. This is post-MEMSIS. So it doesn't require a modification or integration with MEMSIS. That might be nice, but it's not required.
So the mailing house would be responsible for merging or removing redundant names or something like that?
Not redundant names, an exclusion list. It's very simple. Don't mail
this. Okay.
Or, you know, then mail this. It's a mailing house issue. It's not a MEMSIS issue.
Okay.
Then it's your question. Was it Alex that I forget who asked that?
That's a good answer.
Okay.
Carolyn here for a minute.
Yeah, Carolyn, if you can speak up, that would help.
I'm sorry. I addressed that slightly in the proposal down below, so you'll see that how to do that. Steve has some thoughts that maybe it's too soon to ask people to opt out, but I think we have several safeguards put in there that would make it possible and alleviate Alex's question too also. Okay, we'll look at it when we get there, no problem.
Okay. Well, one question I guess we had for the whole committee is, do we feel it's possible to convince enough people to opt out to make it worthwhile?
It's Campbell.
Yeah, Campbell?
I think that, you know, considering the demographics of our audience, a lot of them still are not very much involved and engaged in using computers on a regular basis and, you know, internet savvy and whatnot. So I think that, you know, looking for a major positive result of that sort would, you know, could be problematic. And additionally, there was mention made about people getting the, who did not receive their ballots in the first place, and that was certainly a problem here in Washington, D.C., whereby a number of folks did not get them in the first place, and then when they got the replacement ballots did not have a return address on them. And so some people were taking them down to the station. Some people had to look up at the, you know, in terms of the return envelope, had to look up and write in an address in California. And so, you know, there are a number of problems. And I, you know, personally, although I did not take a major survey, know of about 20 situations where the latter occurred.
Okay. Other comments from anybody? Russell? Yeah, Russell?
Yeah, Sean.
Okay, Russell and then Sean.
Yeah, no, did you say Russell first?
No, Russell first. Yeah, Russell first.
Fine,
and then Sean.
No problem.
I understand that the PNB passed an amended version of the committee's recommendation on this. Can somebody clarify what the... somebody who's on the PNB clarify what happened, what the PNB actually passed?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
There was the motion that we passed on to the PNB, and the change, I believe, was to specifically make it opt out, which we'd already discussed in the committee.
Right.
After, at a meeting after when the motion was originally passed. I believe that was the only change. Is that after?
Yeah, and you should talk to Nia. That was Nia's... thing. So you can take that up with Nia.
But it was specifically to they approved it, but I think with the change of requiring opt out, not opt in, for getting the complete printed candidate pamphlet information.
Right.
Okay, I'll have to. When we get the minutes, we haven't got them yet. I'll send them to the committee if somebody else will help me remember to do that.
Yeah, and Russell, you might want to talk to Nia. That was Nia doing that, so she can give you a clear picture of that.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Okay, Nia, something else, Sean?
Yeah, I want to say the fact of the matter is that the digital divide is almost non-existent. There is a saturation of over 85% now of people, regardless of their economic status, who now use, you know, computers and the internet. So this whole idea that the digital divide is somehow excluding people is really a red herring. And the fact that, and I want to thank Ms. Burden for this, that we are at least going to try to put a 1-800 number in there, takes care of the rest of that 15 to 20% of those people. If we use a simple 1-800 number, which is a cheap and effective way to find out whether they want to get ballots in the mail, or pardon me, statements, booklets in the mail, or if they want to go on the internet. So we've really solved this problem. First of all, there isn't a problem, and second of all, with the 1-800 number, we've solved it. Thank you.
May I speak on that?
Campbell.
May I speak on that, please?
Okay, well, who is that?
This
Renee?
Is Renee.
Go ahead, Renee.
Here in the District of Columbia, and I'm not talking about the wealthier counties, we're surrounded by very wealthy counties, but here in the District of Columbia, that's not factually accurate.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think
about,
so. I disagree
about
with you.
The digital divide. Because
I disagree with you.
I know I was on 36
years, please,
on an ANC where people didn't have computers at all. So so, you know, and they were actually politically active people. So I don't think that's accurate here. So just show me the study about Washington D.C. I'm not talking about Montgomery County and Northern Virginia, which are very wealthy areas. I'm talking about the District of Columbia.
Russell?
Okay, yeah, Russell and then Campbell.
Oh, I'm sorry. Campbell, did you have something to say?
Yeah, were you first, Russell?
Oh, either way, it doesn't matter.
I think Russell was, and then Campbell.
Okay.
I just wanted to say that I'm looking at some statistics on the Internet concerning Internet usage, and that's 85% is quite a bit high. The statistics I'm looking at are saying 76% totally, but in economically challenged areas, it's far lower, closer to 50%. So, I mean, that's exactly the core of the point, is that, for our listeners who we're serving, who are underrepresented, we don't want to exclude them in any way from participating in community radio, because they don't have, it's exactly that reason that we have community radio. Sean, I understand there are all kinds of different statistics out there, and we'd have to do a real study of it. In fact, I'm happy to move that we make a study on this issue with reliable, documented statistics on it, not just hearsay, because I am directly right now, this minute, looking at internetworldstats.com, and it says 76% total.
And I spent 80.
Yeah, you said 85.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry if I said 85.
Let me finish.
Well, let Russell finish, and then we'll put you back on the stack too, Sean. Well, go ahead, Russell.
I'm an internet professional myself, and I am often encountering these kinds of issues. And the fact of the matter is, there still is quite a big digital gap in this country, and especially in economically challenged communities, and we shouldn't ignore that fact. I think Renee is closer to correct on this.
Okay, next on this, this is the secretary. We're keeping the time.
Okay, I'm done. I just wanted to make that point.
Well, we have Campbell, and then Sean, and did I hear Carolyn that wanted to speak?
Yes, Ken, I wanted to get on the stack, and I haven't spoken to this issue.
Okay, let me let Ken. Okay, let me get Ken go, because he hasn't spoken on this issue yet.
Okay, the thing is, the world is changing. We have to move forward. People listen to radios. There might have been a time when KPFK existed prior to radio broadcasting, and nobody would be listening. Now we have computers. We do a lot of webcasting, too. So our audience and our listenership is changing. It isn't just people on the radio. It's also people internationally. And they can vote, by the way. So things are changing. There is no need for a study or any hesitance, because there's no liability here to the listeners or to Pacifica. We incur no cost by offering an opt-out, and no listener will be disenfranchised, because if he doesn't opt out, he gets the material. This is a totally voluntary thing, which I'm sure will solicit greater participation and a higher volume of votes. Because people will then be obligated, once they opt out, now because they made a motion, they'll probably be more likely feel compelled to go to the Internet and be a more responsible voter. So I don't see any downside to doing an opt-out option. And I think we want to move ahead. Also, we've got to start to take responsibility for our costs. Mailing out, when we're only getting 20% of people voting, that means 80% of the campaign booklets, of the candidate statement booklets, are a waste. They're going out, 80% of them. They're very expensive. We're supporting the post office. It's foolish. So we should start to take this little baby step of offering an opt-out, so that people who want to can save that postage and help Pacifica by not having us incur the wasted expense of sending booklets. Done.
We're not going to opt out.
All right. Well, we have on the stack, we have Campbell and Sean. And was there anybody else that hasn't spoken yet that wanted to speak on this?
Alex.
Alex. Okay. Well, go ahead, Alex. Then we'll get to the others.
I'm just a little puzzled as to what the relevance of this whole discussion is. Whether or not we decide that there's a digital divide or not, I fail to see what possible impact that has on our plans for an opt-out position here.
I agree with this.
It's just a no-brainer. I don't really understand why we're even having this discussion.
Okay.
I can answer that. I mean, I just...
Right.
We.
Renee? Never mind. Campbell's on the stack
here.
Next. And then Sean, and then Renee. Okay, Campbell?
Yeah. I was intrigued by the fact that there wasn't any attribution given to the 85% of people. And the saying that the 800 number would resolve that situation, that's... I don't see the connection here, and I think that that's rather product of someone's personal thinking. I do feel that there is a significant cultural divide. There are people that in the Washington area and in other parts of the country that I've been, a lot of the people who listen to WPFW, you will hear them on a continuing basis, who are not computer literate people and who, you know, just continue to support us. And I think that we need to be very careful as we move away or consider any moves away from them. I would say also that the fact that somebody does not return a vote, we may see as being a failure. But in terms of the community and the word getting out about WPFW and Pacifica, I think that the ballot information is very useful, and I've seen other folks refer to it, from time to time as they were listening to people on the station to see, oh, gee, is this the person that, you know, I voted for, the person that I'm acquainted with? Maybe I should have voted for that person. But, I think that it's something very important for us to consider the people who are lower income folks who are, I think, the bedrock of Pacifica and certainly WPFW support.
Okay, let me just remind everybody. You know, we've already decided it's going to be, and the PNB voted, it's going to be opt out. So the only people who will not get the complete packages are the ones who tell us they don't want it. Okay,
right.
So. I hope we don't have to keep going over this over and over again. I think this issue is settled. But okay, go ahead. We have Sean and then Renee and then Carolyn on the stack.
Yeah, I come
and
from
Russell?
The lowest of low-income communities, the disabled, okay? They are the poorest people in the country and the world, okay? Now, the vast majority of them are using technology. It may not be computers, but with what cell phones can do today, you can download everything you need practically to find out everything. And I'm amazed. I think it is, you know, I think you're putting down poor people when I travel all through Los Angeles, which has every strata of economic people, and they have computers, they have cell phones, they have laptops, folks, let's face it, most people can, even if they have to go to the library, God bless them, and I know there are LSB members at KPFK who go to the library to use the computers, who can get to a computer. Now, I'm not against anybody who doesn't have a computer or access to a computer. That's what our 1-800 number is. This is a argument that is, well, it's a failed argument, okay? And if they can't get to a computer, if we give them a 1-800 number, your problem is solved. Straight out and simple. Thank you.
Okay, Renee?
Oh, I agree with the opt out. The only reason I spoke the first time was to put some facts to the statistics, because I live in a working class and poor neighborhood. That's where I live, here in Washington, D.C. So I'm just glad that the person who's a computer person put some facts to the percentage of people who in my black working class neighborhood have computers. But I agree with the opt-out, and I know it was decided earlier. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Carolyn.
Yeah, I think it's always humbling realize that you put something out there that nobody is reading. I think we did address some of this in the proposal that's come up in 7, if we ever get to it. One of the issues really is dealing with people who opt out. You know, Sierra Club and Election Services Corporation said that this is a 3-year process, and the first year, all you do is collect emails and get people used to the idea, and that's what we're doing here. I think in terms of doing this study, this will be the study to see who returns it, who doesn't, what the glitches are, and then next election we can refine what we learned from the first one. So I'm not expecting perfection, but even if 2% decide to opt out, how we handle that would be a good template for the future. So I'm not worried about it being perfect or too large to handle or too small. Whatever it is, and it'll teach us a lot. I think we can move on with that.
Okay, thank you. All right, I think that's all I have on the stack, and I hope we can kind of move on, and so we'll have more time for the other items on the agenda. But if we, does anybody else want to speak on this? We're still talking about the report from work group.
Yeah, the last thing I'll say, Mr. Chair, is that remember, a lot of people that don't have access to the Internet are the have-nots or the want-nots. They don't want to use the Internet. And I think you have to take that into consideration when you talk about the digital divide. There are some people who simply don't want this technology in their lifestyle. Thank you.
Bill, I'm trying to make a last remark.
I'd like to make a comment, please.
Okay. Who hasn't spoken yet? Who is that?
I haven't.
This is Russell.
Okay, Russell. Okay, I think Melinda... you've already spoken. Let me go with Melinda first, and then
sure,
and Russell.
No problem.
Go ahead, Melinda.
Okay. One thing about it, libraries are free, and everybody's library has computers that are for public use. So I believe there is credulence to what you're saying of a person choosing not to, because they're available to everyone these days.
You haven't been to the main D.C. public library.
Yeah,
I've been there.
You have to wait.
Yeah.
Well,
okay.
It just shows you how much people want to get online.
Okay. Then who else? I forgot.
Russell.
To speak. I didn't. Oh yeah, Russell. Go ahead.
Yeah. The only reason this has come up is not because first of all, this section of the meeting is about the working group and not only about the opt out clause. And Sean had raised the issue. Or the question of whether there really is a digital divide, and I think it is important. I mean, I do think we should move on, but I do think it's important that we have an accurate understanding of what the real demographics of Internet use are, and that we don't insert potentially mythological and untrue ideas as facts.
I take exception to that.
Okay, I'm not saying that you did. I'm just saying it's...
I think what's mythological is the people can't use computers.
Let Russell finish, please.
This has got to stop.
Yeah.
That's what's mythological.
Russell.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm not saying what you're saying is mythological, Sean. I'm just saying it's you know, like just a cursory look at some of the statistics online was different from what you had said. So I just would rather have a factual.
Well, I think you're looking at old statistics.
Okay, Sean, I'll give you a chance to speak. Sean,
okay.
I'll give you a chance, but let Russell finish first, please, okay?
I'll defer. I think everybody understands what I'm saying, so I'll let
you.
Okay. All right, Sean?
No, I think that many of their contentions are mythological. We live in a society that is more and more becoming technologically sophisticated, and more people have access to the Internet through a variety of means. And if people don't want to have technology, you've got to take that into the contention that somehow there's a digital divide. That's all I'm saying. And if I'm off by five or seven points on my statistics, I apologize. As Mark Twain said, there are lies, there are damn lies, and then there are statistics. So we can throw statistics around here all day. The fact of the matter is the digital divide is shrinking. and that if people want to participate, and as someone else pointed out here, only we worry about getting quorum. Only 10% of our people are, you know, participating. I would like to see us make an effort to get 85 to 90% of our people participating, regardless of their economic status. You know, that's what we should be concentrating on. That would help Pacifica much more than anything else. And again, and one thing you can't argue against, the 1-800 number opts everybody into the process, period. Thank you very much.
Bill, okay, well, we're not deciding anything right now.
Your timer wants you to know you have 52 seconds, okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, all I wanted to just, I wanted to point out, somebody earlier had said that, you know, there was no problem at one of the stations with replacement ballots, but I do want to point out that in 2009 at BAI, there was numerous reports of last-minute sending of replacement ballots.
Mm-hmm.
In some cases, they came after the voting deadline. So it was a very serious problem in 2009 for us here at WBAI.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so I guess we're about out of time anyway, right, Sean?
Mm-hmm.
On this mission item? Okay.
Sir.
Okay, well, we do have some more substantive things I think we can work on here in the meeting, too. So we have two motions, and then the recommendations, including what Carolyn and Russell sent us to consider. So let's see. We swapped out on 5 and 6 on the agenda. So number 6 was the motion from me, and 10 minutes on allocated to this, hopefully less. Motion is that the PNB direct the ED to ensure that management at all stations do what is necessary to keep membership and correct, that such updating and corrections be completed before the nominations period starts for LSB elections this year, and that it continue on a regular basis in order to minimize problems with future elections and reduce expenses to Pacifica. Is there a second?
I second it. Ken.
Okay, discussion? Let's try to keep it brief, I hope, everybody. Did you want to say something about it, Ken, or just...
No, nope, I just second it.
Okay.
Can you speak up? I heard someone say something.
Not sure. Arlene, did you want to comment on this, since we're just a direction to you?
Well, I think that since the PNB already passed this, I don't think we need to comment on it.
I don't think we passed this one, did we? I have to look at my...
All right, wait, I'm sorry, you've gone to a new topic. I was still stuck on the computers, I'm sorry. Oh,
okay. This was on our agenda last time, but we didn't get to it. So, any other comments from anybody?
Point of information here, Carolyn.
Yeah, Carolyn.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, I think Arlene indicated that this topic is on the agenda for the discussion on Thursday, so should we assume that it will be there? I mean, we could pass this easily now. I don't see a problem with it, if it's on the agenda for Thursday, I don't think there's much point in beating this up. It's a good motion. I guess it was a question for Arlene. Is it really on the agenda Thursday?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Now, that's the management meeting.
Okay, thank you.
It's the major topic for the management meeting is all of these lists and their updating and how we're going to make sure that they're correct this time and how we're going to avoid any of the problems that happened in the last election cycle.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, other discussion?
Question. We're talking about what was number 5, the Ken Aaron amendment?
What was number 6, Bill Crozier's
amendment. Oh, okay. Okay.
Because we swapped those two. We'll get to Ken's next.
Right.
Okay, other questions or discussion, anybody?
I don't have any.
I'm glad, Bill, I'll just comment. I'm glad that this is going to be a major topic for the management meeting Thursday. I just hope there's a follow-up. That was because we've talked about this for years, and we've been told things are going to happen, and then people get too busy or they get distracted or they have other priorities, and then it just doesn't happen. That's what I'm concerned about.
Yeah, well, we've got to improve the situation because we really can't afford to be having to replace lots of ballots and go through the issues that are involved with bad lists. I'm not sure we're going to have all the answers, but we're sure going to, if I have anything to say about it, we're sure damn going to try.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's okay with me if we table this.
This is Ken. I think we should try to pass the motion without objection. I don't think there's a problem here. Why
okay.
should we table it? Because what this does is it encourages management to move ahead. It shows the support of the selection committee that we're all on the same course. So I think if you, I would entertain the concept that we try to pass this without objection and. And then, you know, it saves us a lot of time, and then we go on.
This is Russell.
Okay.
I agree.
Yeah, Russell?
Yeah, I think we should, unless there's an objection, we should just move ahead.
Yeah, I don't have an objection to it.
Okay. All right, well, are there any objections to the motion? Okay, and I forgot to ask you if there's any other discussion. I can do that first. Okay, hearing other discussion, are there any objections?
Could somebody just read the motion one more time?
Okay. That the PNB direct the ED to ensure that management at all stations do what is necessary to keep membership lists updated and correct, that such updating and corrections be completed before the nominations period starts for LSB elections this year, and that it continue on a regular basis in order to minimize problems with future elections and reduce expenses to Pacifica. And if you need the text, it's in the announcement from KPFTX. It's on the agenda.
Yeah. I have no problem with that whatsoever.
Okay, thank you. Is there any objections for anybody? Okay, hearing none, then the motion's accepted without objection. Next item on the agenda is the motion from Ken. Do you want to read that? And I changed the wording to the revised version you sent us, Ken. I hope that's okay. It's different than what
know.
You had last
Jeez.
Month.
Not to sue you on that. Let's see.
well, you sent a revised version for that you wanted the PNB to consider.
Yes,
but
yes.
The PNB
strongly encourages the executive director and the human resource director to rapidly implement the use of the staff registry software across the network and encourage staff to register to assure their right to vote and run for office. Just to speak to this briefly, I did just at the beginning of this meeting send out an email in the attachment of which are previous PNB regulations about registration and identification and things in the bylaws and so forth. This doesn't, if somebody doesn't want to type their name and address into a computer, they can still vote. They just have to do whatever they did last time to demonstrate to the LES and NES that they're qualified voters and candidates. They don't have to go into the staff registry. But the staff registry is the easiest and best way for them to do it. It will increase the number of people participating in the election, and it'll also give us a greater level of confidence that the staff voting are valid paid or unpaid staff members. There is always a little bit of transference from paid to unpaid, and sometimes
Hello?
Did anybody else hear that?
Yeah, I heard it. Well, are
wow.
we still together, though?
Campbell's here.
Renee's here.
Anthony?
Did we lose anybody?
Well, somebody was dozing.
What happened?
That was
scary.
I woke him up.
Can we do a roll call to make sure we didn't lose anybody?
Yeah.
That would be a good idea.
That might have been Al-Qaeda.
So it's Oklahoma with their militia.
Oh, okay. We're close to the summit where I'm located, so I don't know.
Seems like someone just tried to come on.
This is Bill. My phone battery died. I had to call back in. Sorry.
But it was. You scared us.
All right, so Ken, did you finish?
Something happened. I got cut off by a spaceship or something.
Just
to finish the statement, there's always a certain amount of movement. And
Can we just verify, though, that we have everybody on the call?
Oh, yeah. Did that happen to everybody? I thought it was...
Yeah, it seems to have happened to a bunch of us.
Yeah, it was loud noise.
Yeah, and a bunch of us heard it, so...
I think that was generated by my phone. I'm sorry.
That's bizarre.
So, yeah. It usually gives a low battery warning, but it didn't do that.
Bill, are you working for Al-Qaeda?
I'm working for another planet, but anyway, okay.
No, all right.
Okay, go ahead, Ken.
Okay, so there's motion back and forth, but the staff registry list is non-intrusive, and I just want to point out, and I included it in my backup, people don't even have to give their address. Because once you participate and become a member of Pacifica, any other member is entitled to send you mail through the post office. That's a California regulation. And through this software, we're giving them the option not to become members or to provide a post office box so they can maintain their privacy. So it's not like we're trying to be an intrusive total information awareness network. But so the main thing here is to get staff to register so we make sure they get their ballots. There's ancillary or other things that we benefit by this. It'll assist in implementing training. It'll assist us in our reports to the Corporation for Public Broadcasting in terms of reporting our diversity on staff. And it'll also help with notices and other things in the future. Also it helps in budgeting because we'll start to get a count of who's working where.
May I be on the stack? I just had some questions.
This is something, somebody brought this up. This runs on the internet, so it can be done from any computer. It doesn't require, anybody can go in and do it. Then the entry is validated by the person who's the supervisor for that staff member. And that can always be challenged, you know, if somebody disagrees one way or the other. And we own it, and it's already deployed, and it can be implemented easily, and so we don't have to pay anything further for it. And, it's not an intrusive thing. It is, in my personal opinion, moving towards order. If somebody's in favor of chaos, they're not going to like this. So, I mean, and I don't want to disenfranchise those people. I feel we need them. We always need somebody who wants to create chaos because it keeps us on our toes. But this is a method of bringing order and sanity into the distribution of ballot staff members.
Okay, we had Russell and then Renee on the stack.
Campbell.
And Campbell, okay.
Yeah, the basic idea, we've discussed this before, and we discussed it, I believe, in the work group, and the basic idea, Ken, is great, and I know it has support, and it would be helpful, but there's a few issues surrounding it, so I'd like to move to amend the motion in a few ways that would just make explicit a few issues that surround the use of such a system. So may I move to and read an amended version of this motion?
Go ahead.
I don't know. I don't think it needs an amendment. So, before you propose that, could you describe what the fallacy is or the failing? I mean, in other words, you could make an amendment that we're opposed to the war in Iraq and Afghanistan, and it doesn't pertain to this issue. So I'm concerned that if you stretch the implementation of this to cover other things. What it is you think is in fault here?
Yeah, let me just read my wording from my amended motion. It starts off exactly the same as yours. Here's my amended motion. My amended motion that the PNB strongly encourages the executive director and the human resources director to rapidly implement the use of the staff registry software across the network and encourage staff to register. A, registration in this software system will not be the exclusive means of being deemed unpaid staff. B. Any disagreement with management over whether a person is an unpaid staff member will be resolved by due process, which includes arbitration if necessary. C. As per Pacifica Bylaws Article 3, Section 1, in those stations with a management-recognized unpaid staff organization or collective bargaining unit, membership of such an organization continues to constitute membership as unpaid staff for that station for Pacifica voting purposes. D. In accordance with longstanding Pacifica policy, no member addresses, whether of staff members or of listener members, shall be disclosed to other members when alternative means for providing the information to a member, such as sending a mailing list to a mailing house with a confidentiality agreement if a legitimate membership-related mailing is to be done, as per Article 12, Section 4 of the Pacifica Bylaws. And that's it.
Excuse me, is that a motion? This is Ken. Can I just make a response?
Hold on a second, Ken. Okay, Russell, is that a substitute motion? It sounds like a substitute. Does that?
Yeah, I don't know how you call it, but a substitute motion.
Okay, well, actually, we don't need a second committee. Okay. Well, Renee and Campbell were on the stack, but
okay.
Do you have a quick question, Ken? Can you wait? Or
I can, yeah.
Let me back up. We have a new motion on the floor, so it's a new stack. So,
okay, Ken.
Well, go ahead, Ken, if you can be brief, and then let's see if these other...
Okay, just to be brief, I, of course, I'm not opposed to any of those statements, but I don't feel they distract from the implementation and make it too complex and broaden the scope. Again, that's like saying, and this amendment and this motion in no way prevents people from becoming members by doing volunteer work or putting in for a waiver. And it doesn't and it doesn't affect our commitment to diversity. You can keep extending and extending it. There's nothing in the motion that threatens the issues that you're restating. So I feel that amendment, though I agree with all of the concepts of it, just adds unfathomable complexity to a simple thing, which, by the way, I want to point out, HR and the executive director, I believe, are already going ahead with. They don't require a PNB consensus. This is just to allow the PNB to demonstrate that they're in accordance with the management's action, really. So, again, it's sort of like saying, and we all believe in God and country, and this doesn't change Christmas. I just feel it's redundant and excessive. It doesn't really address the motion because the motion doesn't challenge the points that you added.
Well,
let me let the others speak, and then in the meantime, could you please email that to us, Russell, so we can read it?
Sure.
Okay. Renee and Campbell were on the stack for the original motion. So, did you want to speak, Renee, and then I'll get?
Yeah, I heard Ken Aaron say to get staff to register to make sure they get their ballots. I pay my $35 a year, and they're supposed to give me my ballots. Is there some issue?
This is a staff ballot.
Right. Is there some issue? I understand that, but I'm just giving an analogy. I'm just saying, is there some issue, is there some problem about staff, paid or unpaid, making sure they get their ballots?
I can answer. Somebody who works at the station
can answer.
Are we at time, Mr. Chair? Are we going to need a motion to extend if we want to carry on?
We already moved it at the beginning to extend by 10 minutes.
I don't remember that.
I requested that at the beginning.
That's right.
There was no objection.
So, hey, I'm just looking at the agenda, Mr. Chair. You tell me how much time you want on the clock.
Okay, 20 minutes total for this.
All right, so now we have 10 more minutes. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Can Carolyn on the stack, please, Phil?
Okay, so Ken, did you want to answer Renee's question? Ken? Well, let me get back.
Is there some problem now about knowing who the staff are so that they can get their ballots?
Yes.
Yeah, I think some of these other people on the stack can answer that, even if Ken can't. So, Campbell, you're next, and then Sean?
Yes, I think that one thing that would...
be helpful in this regard would be the elimination of the phrase "to assure their right to vote and run for office."
Exactly. Yeah.
Because that
right.
that
yeah.
phrase takes it away from what the bylaws state.
No.
And you know, it becomes kind of problematic potentially, and that could be replaced by "as another way to document their right to vote and run for office," with the proviso that, and then follow that with, you know, the points that the determination of unpaid staff voting rights will continue to follow the Pacifica bylaws, and you have Article 3, Section 1, B, Subsection 2, at those stations which have unpaid staff associations or collective bargaining units that have been recognized by management, B, that no tracking of unpaid staff work hours shall be imposed by management, but rather monthly self-reporting field shall be included in the system, and C, that any person asserting unpaid staff membership who is denied such membership by management shall have the right to appeal and a formal hearing.
Campbell, excuse me, are you reading... Are you reading from another amendment, or what? I'm not sure what you're...
I'm reading from a document that I can, you know, forward.
Okay, all right. I was trying to find out if you're speaking in favor or opposed to the substitute motion.
Well, I'm speaking in favor of the substitute motion. However, there was one change in terms of eliminating the phrase "to assure their right to vote and run for office."
That is not on the floor, Mr. Chair.
Okay, I think Campbell.
Do we
have
a parliamentarian too?
Well, I think that was a point of order.
Parliamentary procedure.
Right now, we're discussing the substitute motion. So,
Bill.
Yes,
Ms. Russell.